Today's match is in the books, and we're breaking it down. This is your RSL post-match show on the RSL Radio Network.
Welcome into the RSL post-match show here at America First Field. Spencer Warren, Lauren Beck, I'm Jay Catch. Thanks for joining us. RSL falls 2-1 to their arch rival, the Colorado Rapids. 70th minute goal from Cole Bassett proves to be the difference, and RSL comes away from another home match with 0 points, guys.
It's pretty dumb. No,
that's it. We're going home, everybody.
You know, the whole pregame, we felt so confident in this matchup.
Well, for 40 minutes, too.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm honestly surprised by this result, just also because of the way that Real Salt Lake performed in the second half. Not necessarily surprised with Colorado, just surprised with Real Salt Lake, because it felt, again, like a little bit like a different team in that second half than we saw in the first, the opposite, I guess, of the Miami game. Disappointing second half. Just disappointing results. I had disappointing referees. We don't need to talk about that. I don't think we're allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, we are. They were terrible.
Yeah, dear PR referees, get the real guys back ASAP. Thank you.
Pay them.
Yes.
I never thought I would say this, that I just pay the refs so we can get them back.
Take care of it, yeah. Here's the thing. Like, it's not ideal, but yeah, nobody's going to feel good about tonight because RSL falls 2-1 at home. And we talked in the pregame about wanting to get back to having this place, speaking of America First Field, be, as Spendel kind of pointed out, a fortress. It was what it used to be. Teams used to come here in fear coming to Sandy to play. And it doesn't seem that way for the past season plus.
No, and obviously, when you look at the first 40 minutes, you felt like RSL, even though disappointed at going in at 1-1, that if they'd have carried on the way they played for the first 40 minutes, that that RSL would, again, have the lion's share of possession, which they did, and plenty of passes, and accuracy when it came to the passes, but they fell into a trap. They fell into that Colorado wanted to make it messy, and it was messy in the second half, and we didn't have enough battlers out there, to be honest with you. Obviously, Brian Vera did his best as a battering ram, but I thought the substitutions were too late, and I needed a little bit more steel in the middle of the park. And for Noel Kalaskan making his full debut, I thought he did okay, but he faded badly within the first 10 minutes of the second half. And you've got Nelson Palacio there that's done a wonderful job down in Colombia. Still kind of finding his feet here, but fresh legs, energy, likes to put in a tackle just to try and get that dominance back into the midfield and allow the players to play in front of him. And I just don't feel like, obviously it didn't work. And out of the subs that came on, Anderson Julio tried. But everything else was ineffective, and it was just a really, really poor second half. As Lauren mentioned, you know, that compared to the first half against Inter Miami.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is you look at how that second half went, and DJ pointed it out midway through the second half. He said RSL, the control of the midfield shifted. It went back to Colorado. I kind of pointed to what you pointed out, Spino, was Kalaskan, he really, as you mentioned, faded early on in that second half. And, yeah, there will be a question, I hope, from somebody down there talking to Pablo saying, why no Nelson Palacio? Because you're right. He's there. He's a guy who has got a lot of experience, and in many respects, I thought a lot of us thought he would end up starting after losing a guy like Brian Ojeda to that red card suspension.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, maybe he's not hungry enough in training. I don't know. I've not been down there. But an ideal replacement to try and swing the pendulum back into RSL's favor in that midfield. Obviously, Matt Crooks faded as well, and that was the right move, I felt. But everything else just didn't work out. And a disappointing night, bitterly disappointing, because it was an opportunity to have back-to-back wins against a team that is full of individuals right now, some really good players, but really didn't offer too much. They were looking for the counter, and if it wasn't on, they would just go long and just allow RSL to have the ball back again. And that's what it felt like. It almost attack against defense, and RSL ran out of ideas.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, RSL 59.1% of the possession. Shots 10-9 in favor of Colorado. But you look at the passes here, 503 passes for RSL against 288. Going to your point, Spenno, of this is a team of individuals on the Colorado side, which is still kind of learning to play with one another, whereas RSL, they seem to be more in sync, but they just weren't able to find the clinicality in the final third.
Yeah, and it felt like that at times in the midfield, Amika Anelli was like a man by himself, mm-hmm. and that wasn't ideal if you're playing a double pivot. But yeah, I just feel like we've played into Colorado's hands, and they've come away with 3 points. They deserve it. They got 2 goals. But on the when you look at everything else, RSL will be really, really disappointed that they haven't come away without 3 points. You know, after the first 40 minutes, it's still mind-boggling. And again, we can go on about things, but some of the refereeing decisions, the linesman down here on this near side, just strange, just out of sync. They look completely out of place. They should be in Sunday League Pub League in England on a Sunday morning when everybody's hungover.
It seemed like they were falling for it too. The cells from
baited,
Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know how a Colorado player puts a hand on Brian Vera's face and there's no eyes on that when that's a situation that you should be keeping an eye on between the two of them, as it was feisty throughout that whole second half. Mm-hmm. Just as Spenno said, RSL played right into Colorado's hands by losing their and Pablo talks about the mentality of this team, and I think they lost their mental strength in this game, in this rivalry tonight, and that's really what made the difference ultimately at the end of the night.
And the telling thing for me tonight was when you go 2-1 down, it went flat.
Yes.
Yes.
It was slow. There was no urgency whatsoever. Now, I don't want ill discipline, as in with regards to just going like a headless chicken, trying to get back into it, but there was no movement. Really stagnant. And then obviously the crowd goes quiet, nothing's back in, and until the referee is making some poor decisions or making decisions that he feels right, obviously, that the crowd gets back into it. But there was just no real reaction from Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, we will have a post-game reaction, obviously, from RSL head coach Pablo Mastroeni, as well as RSL players, as soon as they come to the podium. Feel free to weigh in with your thoughts on social media. We are on Twitter or X, depending on how you want to call it. We'd love to have your feedback on it. We'll get to that as we continue on here, the post-match show. Lauren, real quick, the situation, you talk about the hand to the face for a guy like Brian Vera, but then he seems to get a pretty quick whistle opposite. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
It was one-way traffic.
And yes, and that's where you wonder where what's going on with these referees and these calls, because that situation between Brian Vera and I'd have to look and see which Colorado player it was. That was escalating for a while. Uh-huh. That was not a situation that was new. There had just been a foul committed between the two of them, Vera and Yappy, mm-hmm. and they were yapping and following each other that whole time back to the 18. Yeah. And it wasn't a malicious hands to the face, it was a hand to the face, which is not allowed. It's just there were a couple situations as well where Diego Luna was just blatantly pulled back to stop a counter talk. That's a yellow card. Every time, that's a yellow card. No yellow card given to Colorado. So I don't think that there was a real bias. I just think that there's an experience
in
these heated situations. This is a rivalry game, and the referees, I didn't seem up for it tonight.
Yeah, well, we will continue to break this down. We will take a time out here. We'll come back. We'll also check the scoreboard a little bit later on of how MLS action has played out on this Saturday. Plenty more to come. Like I said, a post-game reaction from Pablo Mastroeni. He was fairly demonstrative on the sideline. I wonder if he'll make any interesting comments. We'll see. He's actually usually pretty measured when it comes to his post-game comments. But we shall see. So more in a moment. This is your RSL post-match show. Once again, feel free to weigh in with your thoughts as well right here on the RSL Radio Network. Welcome back to the RSL post-match show right here on the RSL Radio Network. Lauren Beck, Jay Catch, Spencer Warren breaking things down as RSL falls 2-1 to the Colorado Rapids. The Rapids now have the lead in the Rocky Mountain Cup for this season so far. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the year. I do want to remind you guys that RSL's next home match is coming up on it'll be against St. Louis on March 30th at America First Field. For more information and tickets to join the Riot, please visit rsl.com to check that out. All right, guys. So we got a good friend of the broadcast, Jeff Carroll, down there in the great state of Texas, who is a ardent RSL fan, but checking in. Says, can't lie, pretty terrible loss against a pretty awful team. We, speaking of RSL, need to have better final passes and quicker decision-making. Also need to be more goal dangerous with our fullback play. Didn't help that the refs were atrocious. Work still to be done, and it looks like Pablo Mascheroni is sitting down with the media, so we'll go down to him. We'll get some of that reaction coming up next.
I feel like we got to start out talking about the refs a little bit. Obviously, at least one of the goals was decided by a referee decision, and then the fans made it clear that they weren't happy with the referees. I saw some players went up and talked with the referee afterward as well. What were your thoughts on the officiating tonight?
That part's out of our control, you know. What was in our control was starting the game really bright. I think we played some of our best stuff in the first 30 minutes of the game, created some really, really good opportunities on goal, didn't capitalize on it. That you know, that's one of those, looking back, it's just the game could have been over in the first half. And then the handball call, then all of a sudden momentum flipped. And, you know, really from that moment, I felt like, again, we haven't played from behind but once this year. And you really start to see how the emotional part takes over. And you know, when you play with so much emotion, reason seems to leave you, right? And so in our structure, in our decisions with the ball in the second half, very chaotic game, and it's an emotional game. But I think, again, the learning piece of this is how do we temper our emotions and stay in control of a very emotional game. And really, that's my takeaway from it. Again, there's a couple, two or three really good chances in the second half as well. And you know, one of the things that's becoming really clear is we're getting into real dangerous areas, and we don't have enough runners across the face of goal, and everyone wants the cutback ball, but again, those are things that we'll look at. But I think that's really the story of the game, is that we just kind of got caught up in the emotion, lost the structure in the second half, and didn't take our chances in the first half when the game offered those chances to us.
And then my only other question has to do with how this game might have tested the depth of your squad with Pablo Ruiz going out, obviously, and then you didn't have Jay Glad tonight. But at the same time, you get to see the debut of Katranas. So what does the game say about the depth of this squad right now?
Well, you know, I if you're looking at the result and you know, again, I think continuity's important. You know, I think Ojeda's had a really good start to the campaign. Jay Glad's had a real good start to the campaign. And you know, those are and obviously Pablo as well, but again, I think the way I coach is everyone understands what they're meant to be doing, and you know, I think again overall I think those guys did well. I think as a collective, just really staying to the task and not getting caught up in the emotional part of the game. And obviously those guys with a little bit more experience would probably bring a level of calm to the game. So again, everything's an opportunity to learn, opportunity to get better, and we'll learn from this one and we'll be better.
Let's go David James next and then here.
Pablo, you touched on it a little bit, but can you talk about the midfield? It seems so dominant for a couple of games and dominant for about 40 minutes. But late in the game, it seemed like there were a lot of big switches, a lot of balls over the top, more the way you played a year ago than the way you played the last two and a half games.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, when you're not, you know, when emotion overrides you, you just, you're not thinking clear, you know, and I think there's a lot of moments where, so from a tactical perspective, right, we want our pivots playing behind the first line of pressure, right? Then we want our tens playing behind the next line of pressure at all times. And so what that encourages is your center backs, if there's space, to engage so that each layer now becomes higher up the field. So now your shape is allowing you to then repress when you play those central penetrating passes, and it's never a threat. What was happening was our center backs were back here, our pivots were behind the first line of pressure, right? Our tens were dropping in front of their midfield line, and then we have our three guys up top. And so from a structure perspective, and again, I think it's normal. You want to make the game, so then your 10s start dropping deeper, your pivots get on the ball, your 10s start dropping deeper, and it becomes a moment where now you're forced to play long balls, right? So if we would have kept our structure a little bit better, we would have then, there's a couple of good moments where Emeka breaks through and plays it off to Andreas, and Dress whips one across the goal, but now we don't have the runners. So there's always something to fix. But again, I think that was the biggest thing from an offensive standpoint, is our the lines were too deep. Each line was a little bit deeper than what we wanted to try to affect the game in a positive way. But in the end, as a collective, it didn't work out.
Lost in the defeat, is the first goal the way you want to play as far as repressing, winning the ball? The first goal, is that RSL's only goal? Is that the way you want to play, repressing, going straight to goal?
Yeah. No, yeah, that's the game. That's why our structure with the ball is so important, because that moment doesn't happen if we have guys that are dropping layers. Because when you lose the ball, you can't repress because you're not close to the opposing team. So the tighter our lines are, you know, playing close to the fire, playing close, and our back line tight, and our midfield line, and then our tens. Now, when you lose the ball, you always have players in and around the ball that leads to that first goal.
Did Gomez follow up on his performance against LAFC the way you wanted?
Yeah, I think, again, with any young player, you're going to have moments where games where it's going to be a 10, and some games it's not going to come off. You know, I think Andreas had some really, really important moments for us in and around the goal. And then there's some other moments in the middle third of the field where the decision was that of a younger player. And it doesn't understand the moment to, like, just keep the ball and allow our team to get forward versus always trying to make a play. But I'd rather have that than a player that is never thinking about making plays.
With the bye week coming up, what is the priority for the team in these next 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I think it's to get everyone healthy and everyone back. Obviously, Jay Glad, get him back up to speed, get Ojeda back up to speed. And he just had a baby girl a couple of days ago. And has been away from the team for the last 3 days. And then really dialing in all the things that I've been talking about from an attacking perspective. Because again, for as much as we want to talk about, you know, our defensive structure, it's all one thing. It's all one thing. And if our attacking structure is good, our defensive structure is going to be good. And we're going to be able to win the ball higher up the field. So we'll just, again, go down. And again, it takes games like this to, you know, emotional games like this, to really learn from. You know, I think so, you know, because at times when you're winning and things are okay, then there's not an impetus to really dig deep and, like, really turn the screws on what we're doing. So it's really clear we didn't win. So now we get back to work and we get back to basics and we do what we do, and move forward.
Pablo, tough results. Looked like you did come out, pick up right where you left off from last week, and then you had the penalty kick. You lost the plot, so to speak. Does this game turn on mentality or tactics? Where would you rate that?
I think one affects the other. I think if you're caught up in the emotion of the game, and again, there's quite a few young players out on the field. And there's almost a desperation to try to get the goal back right away. And because of the emotional piece of it, the guys that have played for years and years understand, like, we have a ton of time here. We just got to stay the course. There's no need to run out of position. There's no need to go and try to find the game. The game is going to unfold before you if you stay disciplined, right? And if you stay and you create your structure. So I think the emotion led to a little bit of lack of structure because of, you know, these are again, every season you have to go through all these things. You think, oh, last season we learned, but again, there's different players on the field, quite a few young players. And so these are lessons that we have to learn as a collective to go back and refer to. So when the game's going, the next game we play and we're in a similar situation, and hopefully we're not, but if we are, it's like, there's no panic here. We've got time. Let's stay the course and let's finish the game the right way.
You're working on a new system. You're trying to get players involved and control the ball, possess the ball more often. How would you rate where it's at? It looks like Luna has struggled. Our team's just marking him out of the game, or are we struggling to find players like Luna and Crooks and create through the middle?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think if you go back and watch the first 30 minutes, I think you'll see them receiving the ball in areas that are very dangerous. If you go after the goal, you'll see both of them dropping behind the line. And so then that's why we were forced to play longer balls, because the idea and the setup is, right, your center backs engage, you have your pivots. Your pivots get on the ball, you have your 10s. Now, if your 10s are out of that spot, you're isolating two or three guys on the front line. There's no connection to it. So it's not so much that we're not finding them, it's that we're not finding them in dangerous areas that are going to actually create chances for us.
One last question. Was this something that Colorado did that they had the effect, or is it just the mentality of the team Colorado get it?
It could have been any other opponent. I think the scoreline, the fact that I think their goal came out of the run of play, or it came out of nowhere, really, their penalty kick. Before then, they didn't have much opportunity. And if we just take advantage of that moment, it's more about how we dealt with the situation than what Colorado did. And again, I think it's a great opportunity to learn about what we need to do as a collective to manage moments where you're controlling the game, everything's under control. And because football does it, it'll shock you at times. But we have to be more resilient in our approach. We have to be more disciplined in our approach. There'll be a lot of film to kind of go over and make those points.
Noel Caliscan, fantastic player. What was the thought to bring him into the starting 11 in his first start in a crucial rivalry game?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Noel's been with us now for, you know, since the beginning of preseason. He was a player that we needed for numbers. And definitely did a fantastic job in the preseason, did a really good job in the games he played. Every day he wants to learn. He's a determined individual. And again, you know, I say this all the time, is players pick themselves, because as coaches, we're observing and we're seeing, you know, who's the guy that can come in and do the job that's being asked. And Noel made a case for himself, has been playing extremely well. And, you know, again, for a first start against, you know, our rivals, I thought he played a real good game.
And then McMath, obviously he had a like strong three first games of the season. What was the thought of benching him for this game?
Good question. You know, so one of the things that we prioritize as a club is making sure that we're given you know, our younger players an opportunity, right? And it had nothing to do with Zach's performances, because he's been great. And that's one thing that, you know, our mission statement is winning together through development, right? And so giving these players an opportunity, and unlike a lot of the other young players that we have, you can't drip feed 15 minutes or 20 minutes for a goalkeeper. So you have to give them games. You know, Gav tonight made two big saves that I can remember that kept us in the game tonight. Yep.
So we're talking about giving minutes to younger players. My first question was, are you pleased with what Beavers did today? Seemed like at times he struggled a little bit with his footwork, and how can he improve on that?
Yeah, I think it's not an easy game to come into. you know, I think from a goalkeeping perspective, he did really well. One of the things that we talk and Mirza works with Gavin quite a bit is, you know, is his calm on the ball and being able to distribute the ball with a bit of poise. And those are areas where I think that's an area where I think he'll continue to get better as we go. But again, I think all these things lend themselves to given younger players an opportunity. And, you know, I think we have two really good goalkeepers. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we didn't lose this game because of Gavin. We lost it because as a collective, we weren't able to handle very important moments that define the game.
Bueno, solo preguntarte con respecto a algo que pasó la temporada pasada, que fue los juegos como local. Ya se ganó contra el AFC, un rival complicado, pero hoy cae ante Colorado. ¿Qué es lo que te gustaría mejorar un poco en esa mentalidad que tanto nos has hablado desde la temporada pasada en cuanto a los juegos en casa? Porque si bien hoy el equipo, en mis gustos personales, jugó muy bien el primer tiempo, pero le faltó un poco el segundo tiempo. Creo que en casa todavía falta algo por hacer.
Sí, yo creo que, como dije antes, que los primeros 30 minutos fueron 30 minutos que, los mejores 30 minutos que hemos jugado todo el año. No pudimos encontrar el segundo gol. Y el fútbol es un partido de definir. Y yo creo que cuando le dieron el penal, en ese momento la mentalidad se bajó. Y claro, y como dije antes, tenemos varios jóvenes en la cancha que no tienen la experiencia para seguir con el plan. Se ponen muy emocionados y es normal. Y eso son cosas que como equipo lo tenemos que aguantar. Porque si no, jugamos todos los veteranos. Pero uno de los metas del club es jugar jóvenes y para darle a la oportunidad, y eso viene con la juventud. Y pues yo creo que como equipo tenemos que revisar el partido junto y hablar de momentos clave donde podemos cambiar la mentalidad y mantener nuestra estructura ofensiva para seguir creando chances en el arco sin regalando goles atrás.
So the question was that the team from last season has struggled with mentality and home games against big rivals like Colorado and LAFC. What do they want to see changed? Pablo responded that the first 30 minutes of this game were the best 30 minutes that they've played all season, that the mentality switched off after they conceded that PK, and that this just comes with giving the youngsters minutes, the rookies, to get them experience, and that the club is really big on getting the rookies big minutes in big games to help develop them.
Let's go to Joseph Hutchison on Zoom, please.
Hola, Pablo. Unas preguntas hoy. Me pareció que hoy faltó el toque final para meter el gol. ¿Cuál es tu análisis sobre el por qué el equipo no pudo definir mejor?
Yo creo que en varias ocasiones llegamos a la área y metemos centro. Pero yo creo que la mayoría de los jugadores buscaban el balón para atrás cuando el centro iba al arco. Y yo creo que si tenemos dos o tres jugadores que atacan el arco, definimos esas oportunidades. Porque en los primeros 30 minutos yo creo que habían dos o tres ocasiones para atacar al arco sin el balón. Pero yo creo que eso es una cosa fundamental de este partido que tenemos que revisar y hacer mejor trabajo para el próximo partido.
So the question was that in this game it seemed that the final touch was missing right in front of the goal. Why did he think that was? Paul responded that in the first 30 minutes again that they found really good opportunities in the box, that a lot of the players were looking for the cutback pass, but the ball was going right in front of the goal, so that they needed to just have a few more players in that area to just tap it away, and that they're going to work on that.
Y por último, ¿qué vas a dar de tarea al equipo después del partido hoy?
Pues para mí, cómo mantener la estructura ofensiva,
cuando estamos ganando y igual cuando estamos perdiendo. Yo creo que lo que vi esta noche fue no emocionado, estuvimos muy emocionados después de que marcaron el penal. Todos querían resolver los problemas ellos solos. Y para mí siempre es la colectiva. Tenemos que mantener la estructura, estar disciplinado en el ataque y también con en la defensa. Y yo creo que eso es lo más importante que podemos sacar de este partido porque, como dije, creamos muchas oportunidades y fueron los momentos clave donde no estuvimos listos para definir y terminar el juego en el primer tiempo.
So the question was, what did they want the team to take away from this? The answer was that they need to learn how to, they need to get better at maintaining their offensive structure, even when they're down or when they're up. He felt like when they, again, conceded the penalty, that the mentality kind of went down and that the whole team felt that they had to solve the problem on their own, but that for Pablo, it's more about the collective, and they need to work on kind of collectively solving the problem instead of individually trying to take it on.
Okay, last question, Willie.
Pablo. Muchos jóvenes tienen la oportunidad. ¿Qué tan complicado será para ti tratar de hacerles entender que lo emocional hay que dejar de lado para trabajar más, jugar con la cabeza y entender el plan que tú planteas y de esa manera obtener los resultados que se quiere y hacer lo que en la práctica tú les ordenas?
Sí, yo creo que en el fútbol como en la vida, la única manera que ganamos experiencia es de los errores, es de la experiencia de que nos da la vida, cuando no hacemos las cosas de una manera correcta. Pero lo que yo quiero de este partido es que todos salimos del vestuario el martes y vamos aprendiendo el próximo partido. Cuando llega ese momento, se hace el click y digo, ¡pum! Y eso es experiencia. Es la única manera que lo ganás. Lo que tiene que vivir.
So the question was that there's a lot of youngsters on the team now and they're getting a lot of opportunity to kind of showcase what they can do, and what does he want them to take away from this game, particularly in the emotional side of it? Paulo said that they're young, they're going to make mistakes, that's the only way to learn, and that he hopes that when they come out of the locker room next training session that it kind of just clicks for them that this shouldn't happen and that they should regulate their emotions.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mecca is coming in next. Thank you. Master addressing the media, and you can tell he's not content with the result, but he was very diplomatic about some of his answers there, it felt like.
Well, he's had to be diplomatic the last couple of weeks.
Yes, he has.
He was asked immediately by Tom Boger about Steve Trundolo's comments last week, which God bless you, Tom Bogert, for trying to stir that pot. It was so enjoyable to see it from the outside. But yeah, I'm always a diplomat. You always want a little bit of fire from him, but he's never going to give it to you. He's going to give you a straight answer, but it's going to be calm and reasonable.
I don't know what it would take, but it would take, I think, something pretty egregious to get him to go off. All right, we've got the goal scorer himself, Emeka Anelli, sitting down with the media right now. We'll send you down to let you hear his comments.
The play where you score, the build-up, winning the ball back, what'd you see as it all unfolded?
Yeah, I mean, I think they played into midfield, and I was just kind of on my front studs, ready to press. Like, we work a lot on counter-pressing, you know, and our reactions. So once I saw that ball being played, I thought I could step up and win it, which I did. And then, obviously, it popped up to Chicho. And I think just momentum to continue my run forward. And then, obviously, a little bit of luck. I'm not sure if Andres was crossing it or shooting it, but I was just, you know, making sure to get myself in the box when I can. And then got an outstretched leg to it, and I'm glad it went in.
It looked like two different games in the midfield. The first 40 minutes, you guys looked like you could pretty much do whatever you wanted. And then there was a lot more big switches, direct balls over the top later in the game. What happened? What was the difference?
I think in the first 30 and 40 minutes, we kind of stuck to some of our principles of, you know, our structural principles of where our pivots were in the midfield, you know, kind of positioning ourselves behind that front line. But I think as the game wore on, I think we kind of got away from that and kind of dropped a little bit deeper, which then didn't which meant their midfield could just sit back basically because we weren't really breaking anything with our line of pressure. So I think it's still early in the season, something that we need to work on. Just, I think, continually finding the right pockets behind the striker so that we can, you know, engage their midfield and draw out their midfield so that we can then find our 10s and play more like how we did in the first 30, 35 minutes.
The last like 20 minutes or so of the game, did you feel like the team was playing with a lot of confidence out there, or were people kind of grasping for something to do?
I think we still had some confidence. I think we were still controlling the game, you know, playing in their half most of the time. But obviously when you're down a goal and you're chasing in the last 15, 20 minutes, the game becomes a little bit hectic. You know, you're pushing numbers forward. You lose the ball in a bad area, they're going to counter. Obviously, it might not look as pretty, but that's just how soccer goes, you know. So I think we still have the confidence, and I'm lucky not to break them down, but something that we'll work on.
Emeka, congratulations on the goal.
Thank you.
So you seem to have solidified a starting role in the midfield. How do you feel about that? And are you confident that you can continue to hold that down in the midfield?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. You know, I mean, I think soccer's a big game about confidence, you know? So once you string together 2, 3, 4 good performances, you just build on that. And I think, you know, just going into training, working every day on the basics and continuing to work on that. I mean, I worked on it all through preseason, beginning of this season. I think it's just, I've gotten better since I've been doing that. I think I've gotten so much better since my first year. And I think I can only continue to get better if I continue to work on those things and continue with my work ethic. So continue to do that, continue to solidify my spot, hopefully in the midfield, and then just, you know, take it day by day, week by week, but not look too far in the future and just work on going in every single day to training, next game, and focusing to be better than I was the day before.
Is there anything specifically that you're working on to improve, or do you just focus on everything in general?
I think the way we play now with our pivots, I think it's just super important. Our tactical awareness and like our position of where we position ourselves, because where we position ourselves is that allows for other players on the team to then get free. And, you know, we've only been doing it for what we started in January, so 2 months now. So I think just becoming more used to that, you know, and that will come along as we continue to play together, continue to solidify our structure and how we want to play, just working on that. And then I think just body shape and scanning, really, because those are really the simple things to do in midfield, but they're game changers, because if you can do that, then like nobody can really press you. You can get out of anything really, really well. So I think working on those 2 or 3 things is my goal.
It seemed like there was a bit of frustration both from players and fans with the officiating tonight. And I think I noticed that you were one of the guys that went up and maybe had a conversation with some of the officials after the game. What were you kind of talking to them about, I guess, and how do you balance when to approach and talk to the refs and kind of when to lay back?
I mean, I thought for the penalty, like, first I thought I got pushed. If I go down, it's probably, they're going to call a foul. They didn't call a foul. And then he's saying my arm's not in a natural position, but like I'm swiveling my body, you know? So if he wants me to put my hands behind my back when I'm trying to, you know, hold people off, then what am I supposed to do? And then, I don't know, the second goal looked like similar to the penalty that we gave up where he might've outstretched his hand, but nothing there. Chicho might've got something, nothing there. I don't know. I feel like it was a little bit inconsistent, but I mean, that's the game of soccer. It's won and lost on different moments, and can't do anything about it now. The game's over, so you just got to move on to the next game early.
Yeah, and then kind of on a silver note, it seemed like Pablo was talking a little bit about trying to handle emotions better in a game like this. How do you approach that personally, and maybe what do you think you guys can learn as a team in that aspect of handling emotions better?
I think it's really just staying focused on the task at hand. You know, obviously the first 30, 35 minutes went well, and then the last 10, 15, obviously we gave up the PK, and then, you know, heads kind of start to drop. You're kind of looking around. I think we just got to find, I think just look at each other and just find some strength, some confidence in each other to know that this is one of those tough moments that we're going through, you know, to really focus for these next 5 minutes and bunker down and then get through that, because soccer's it's a fast game, you know. There's different moments in the game and it comes and goes. So if you can last through those tough, hard times, then you're going to have better times. You're going to have time for the ball. It's going to be good. So I think just more focus, you know, overall. It's hard, you know, it's a 90-minute game. You know, it's hard to focus for the whole entire 90 minutes, obviously. So I think just continuing to work on that mental strength and things like that.
Emeka, congrats for your score.
Thank you.
What a combination of feelings. The score, the penalty, plus the result. Mm-hmm. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, I know. Roller coaster of a game, really, obviously. Excited to score my first goal, and then to give up the penalty is a bummer. And then obviously to lose the game, another bummer. So I think, it's done now. Like, we're going to obviously see how we can be better from that game. Obviously happy for the goal, but not happy with the result. So hopefully just going to training again on Tuesday, more hard work, shore up some things, and then work hard at training. Obviously, we have a bye week. We go to Vancouver the week after that. So then just look forward to that Vancouver game to be better.
Trying to score again.
That's my goal. I would love to get on the score sheet more often, you know?
Yeah. One more for Emeka, and then we'll have Katrana.
Can you kind of tell us the difference in mentalities between playing in a central midfield role and an outside back role?
Mm-hmm. I think outside back is different in the fact that you kind of have the whole game in front of you. So you're not really checking your shoulder as much, not really focused on body shape, because you're always kind of facing forward when you get the ball, you know. While in midfield, you have pressure from all sides, so you have to be more aware of where you are, the spaces that you're occupying, and what you're going to do with the ball when you get it. Because sometimes right back, you'll get it. You have time to just, you know, drive a little bit, provoke a little bit. But in midfield, like, you turn into pressure and you're going to get obviously tackled right away. So I think just finding that balance of spatial awareness in the midfield and, you know, just having a picture of what I'm going to do with the ball before I get it. And I think those are the two biggest differences between right back and center mid.
Emeka, one from me. Pablo, we may have heard he often compares you to Diego Chara, or a young Diego Chara, mm-hmm. when he started with Portland. Does that name mean anything to you? Does that comparison invoke a specific emotion?
I think he's a wonderful player, obviously. He's been in the league for probably almost 15 years now. So, like, I mean, if I were to have a similar career to him, I would be extremely, extremely happy. So I think it's big ups to Pablo for saying that. And obviously a long, long, long way to go, but definitely super excited that he said that, and just want to continue to work to get to that level.
I guess my follow-up is just, in 30 seconds, is it easy, or can you explain the difference between what the pivots are supposed to do in the old system and now in this system?
Yeah, I think in the old system, we just didn't have any really numbers in the middle, and our pivots were kind of tasked with kind of coming deeper and finding the ball off of our center backs, and then trying to make the game almost as pivots. While now it's more, we're behind that first line of pressure and really, really close to each other, so that we can have some of those really good combinations that we had in the first half to attract their midfield. And then once we do that, deeper layers, like our 10s and our 9 are going to be free, you know, and open. So I think it's a big change, but I think it's a really good change because it allows us to dominate the ball more. I think we've dominated the ball in, honestly, the majority of the games that we've played, and it works well. Obviously, sometimes we haven't got the result, but I think if we continue to work on it, it's a long season, we'll get the results, and keep on working.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We are awaiting Alexandros Katranis to address the media. He made his club debut tonight as a substitute. I think it was like in the 82nd minute, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
And didn't necessarily see a ton from him, but I know the club is very excited to have him on the roster because he's a true left-footed, and they just ended the meeting. So maybe we're not going to get Katranis.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Well, Alex, keep you updated on that, but they just ended the Zoom call, so I'm assuming Katranis is not going to be speaking.
The intern was done.
Apparently so. But they said, like, legitimately, you heard him say, we got one more question. Alex, you got any update on that? I don't know if you've, okay, sounds good. Well, let's take a timeout. Maybe we get Katranis, maybe we don't. But more in a moment. This is the RSL post-match show right here on the RSL Radio Network. Welcome back to the RSL post-match show. Let's throw right down to Alex Katranis and let you hear as much of his media as we can. Here you go.
Excited for this opportunity. You mentioned that in a few questions ago, but what do you expect about the game in the United States?
Yeah, I was excited. I was excited, to be honest. I never had the opportunity before to come to USA. Even for playing or even for like a tourist or something. So even from this part, that was very exciting. But in our job, the most important is you're looking at your career. So it doesn't matter where is this. It needs to be the right team. It needs to be the right approach. It needs to be the right project. So yeah, everybody around me was like, yeah, you go to USA. It's very nice, very good. Everybody's dreaming to travel here and stuff, but I'm not a tourist. I'm a player, so I need to see my career, and I think I did the right step.
Thank you. Hey, welcome. From what you have talked and what you have said, you seem like a very ambitious player. I just want to ask you, tactical speaking in the game, what are you willing to do? You say you were willing to bring the fire. Are you the type of player that kind of like stays back or is willing to risk, or also the one that breaks the lines and looks for a cross? What is your most style of play that you bring to this game?
You're going to see someone running up and down all the time. Yeah, I think my strong part is like defending. I'm very good on that. As a left back, first of all, you're a defender. But now, these years in football, the left back is not only for defending. So you need to go up. You need to help your team. When they build, when you have the ball, you need to create for your teammates. And to be honest, I'm more happy when I assist someone than when I score. Like I want to create for them. I want to deliver a good ball. I want to make a good pass so they can score and they are happy. So I'm happy. That's my job.
Sorry, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Prior to coming to Real Salt Lake and following the Major League Soccer, did you have a team that you followed before coming here?
No, not really. I was following, as I said, the guys that I knew from different teams, or Greek guys, or guys that I had friends and I play with them in other teams. So yeah, I didn't have a team, a specific team to watch or follow. I just had a couple of guys to watch their games.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much for your time, guys. Good night.
Alexandros Katranis addressing the media after his club debut, and hoping to see more for him moving forward. So I know that the club's very excited to finally have him stateside.
Yeah, and you know, Andrew Brodie's done a good job of being at left back, but when you get that left-footed, left-sided defender, looks like he likes to get forward. Obviously, RSL were pushing for an equaliser, so he got forward as much as he could. But yeah, excited to see him settle in and see if there's something there that can really help balance RSL out on the left-hand side. It is really tough when you have that right footer. Andrew Brodie's great at dribbling, and look forward to seeing that on the right-hand side, you know, and battling for a place with Bodie Hidalgo. But yeah, again, not an ideal situation for him to come in. But, you know, we saw a little glimpse there of hopefully things to come, getting forward and, you know, looked defensively for what we saw. Kept his shape, and that's all you can ask for, particularly when you're pushing forward as much as RSL were.
One of the best part was he came on and was like talking to the referee right away. It was kind of funny to watch him. Like he's like he was not holding back.
He's definitely Greek.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
There's no doubt he was not holding back. So looking forward to seeing more from him. All right, want to remind you guys that our Real Salt Lake single game tickets are now on sale. Secure tickets for when St. Louis comes to town on March 30th. Visit RSL.com for more tickets and more information. We got some final thoughts. A quick look at the MLS scoreboard coming up next as we wrap up this edition of the RSL Postmatch Show. Real Salt Lake loses 2-1 to the Colorado Rapids tonight at America First Field. More in a moment right here on the RSL Radio Network. Welcome back to the RSL Postmatch Show. Real Salt Lake loses 2-1 to the Colorado Rapids. Want to remind you guys that the Utah Royals, Spenno, make their re-debut. Is that the best way to say it?
I think so.
Next week, as they will welcome in the Chicago Red Stars. That'll be March 16th, presented by America First Credit Union. For tickets and more information, go to visit UtahRoyals.com. Looking forward to that, by the way. It's going to be fun to have the Royals back here and have the – it was fun to have the professional, like, umbrella have men's and women's top flight, as well as we have the Real Monarchs as the the minor league affiliate, and so it's nice to have the Royals back.
Oh, absolutely, and as you know, I mean, when they were here the first time, really good crowds. Mm-hmm. It was bitterness that put them, made them leave, and just delighted to have it back. Looking forward to the games. DJ will be on the call for those, I believe. Yep. So, should be fun, and I can't wait to bring my girls and my boys to come watch the games again.
I guess I can lift that lid. Yeah, we are going to be broadcasting Utah Royals games here on the Utah Royals Radio now. I don't know what they're going to. I'm assuming that's what they'll call it. It's not going to be the RSL Network for Utah. But I don't know. But
Soccer Network.
Yeah, I mean
soccer.
The Smith Entertainment Group Soccer. Yeah, I don't
we've
know.
Just done that. I've just done that on live on air.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. All right.
It's late.
It is. So Spenno, before we go, any final thoughts from you?
A bye this week. Mm-hmm. Tough. Because the guys will probably want to get out there and right some wrongs, but there is an opportunity to get Jay Glad back, as Pablo Mastroianni said, get him involved. Obviously, Brian O'Hader's been away, suspended tonight, but been away from the team for a few days with a newborn as well. So it allows two important pieces to come back and obviously get Katranas acclimatized a little bit more. Obviously, Matt Crook's getting his fitness up after pretty much a month off of soccer, even though he's played half a season for Middlesbrough, but having a month off as well. So also a good time as well. So hopefully RSL can really bounce back. But it is the turf up in Vancouver. We get to see Demir Krylik.
It's Domi and RSL playing against one another for the first
time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's gonna be really, really weird. It really will be strange, but good to see him. I know Josh Clark from the RSL show is going to be going up there. I had to sign a picture saying I miss Dami. I do miss him because I think he was a great captain. Mm-hmm. All the best to him. Just hopefully he doesn't enjoy the result in 2 weeks' time.
Yep, so we will be back on air in 2 weeks' time, getting ready for that one as RSL heads north of the border to Vancouver. Looking forward to it. You mentioned Dami. Just the idea of Dami in another uniform is such a weird, weird thought. But yeah. Hey. Welcome to Pro Sports.
Yes.
Nonetheless. All right. So, once again, RSL falls 2-1 to the Colorado Rapids, losing leg one of the Rocky Mountain Cup here at America First Field. Reminder that next week, a 5:30 first kick for the Utah Royals against the Chicago Red Stars. Looking forward to that. And then in 2 weeks' time, after the bye week, RSL returns to action. Want to remind you guys that tonight's post-game reaction was presented by America First, the official credit union of Real Salt Lake, the only place you can get the team's exclusive Visa credit and debit cards, whether you need low-rate loans, better ways to manage your money or tools to grow your business. America First All-Star roster of products and services can help you reach your financial goals faster. Become a member today at AmericaFirst.com. All right. So for Spenno, for Lauren, big thank you to Alex Napolis for his producing back in Salt Lake City. I'm Jay Cash. Thank you for tuning in to the RSL Postmatch Show as RSL falls 2-1 to Colorado Rapids. Have a great night. This has been the RSL Postmatch Show right here on the RSL Radio Network.